Welcome back. If things had turned out differently and more peacefully and with less death in the last year, I might have had Kevin Koval on the show to talk about the book we had just finished and had just published. We were thinking of collaborating on a book, and that has not been. But I do miss you, Kevin Koval. How are you?
I miss you, Rick Hogan. Yeah. And yes, we should absolutely do the book. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I mean, as good as can be expected. I mean, most of the post-COVID things that I think are my post-COVID problems are just getting older, that's all. Kevin is a major player and inspiration on the art scene here with Young Chicago Authors, as the co-host of a WGN podcast called The Corner Store, which I'm so glad WGN still has on. And he's joined by Matthew Lee Erlbach. Matthew, have we ever met before?
I don't think so.
That's too bad because you seem like my kind of guy. They are involved in, and Matthew, I need you to give me some background on this. There is an organization. You guys have turned into somehow lobbyists, the least likely. Kevin, you'd be the least likely lobbyist I've ever encountered in my life. But you'd be good. You'd be good to try to make America aware of the importance of artists and culture and the arts industry to the fabric of this country. Is that well enough put for you, Matthew?
Yeah, I would say so. To make arts and culture workers a legislative and economic priority, both locally and federally. That's
yeah,
right.
I mean, federally, you'd love to see a cabinet post with a man or woman named to that. When did this start in New York? Am I right with you and a few other theater folk?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Chicago, grew up in Rogers Park, and this started with a group of theater makers from New York, Carson Elrod, Jenny Grace Macholm, who are New York-based, where I lived for 13 years, and Brooke Ishibashi and myself, who are now out in Los Angeles. And we came together and saw that there was a desperate need to get an economic floor put underneath our sector, which is 5.1 million arts and culture workers strong, $877 billion generated in added value, and that's over 675,000 businesses. So we're big business because we're local business. And when we saw that we weren't getting anything in the last stimulus package, we thought, wait a minute, we need to advocate for our people. And who we're talking about are, everyone from the people on stage to grips, gaffers,
sure,
administrators.
Sure. I mean, knowing the arts relatively well, or at least partaking of the arts over the years as I have, I'm aware of that. But some people would say, I mean, you have a slightly uphill fight because people think, well, arts organizations, that's a WTTW when they have a pledge month, and that's so-and-so. They do not realize, I think you're approaching this from the right angle, telling people how much money is involved. Are people stunned when they hear that? There must be a kind of awakening on the part of a lot of people when they start to learn that, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in red states and in blue states.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you go to Illinois legislators and say, hey, we're a $30 billion industry in Illinois, they're like, what?
Yeah, what?
So to your point, to pledge to WTTW,
yep. Yeah.
Pledge drives, we're an industry, not a cause.
Exactly. I think that's one of the things that you are doing it. I mean, that's one of the things that needs to be set in the mind at change of the American public. Kevin, how'd you get involved?
They asked me to do it. Sounded good. I said yes. It's,
you're like me. Yeah.
Exactly. I learned from you. But it's also like Rick. You probably better than anyone. It's like the arts. What can they do for a city? Huh. What can they do for a state? What can they do for our culture?
And yeah,
I think there is a good opportunity to create, hopefully like a different direction in this country. Perhaps there are elected officials who are more open to listening, to the people prior, than before, but it's also on the people to continue to organize and put pressure. And now is not the time certainly to let up. And I think an investment in, our best natural resources, which are the stories and the creativity of our people, are certainly a way to kind of bridge a radical divide that exists in this country, you know, as you know, and also a way to heal.
Yeah, I have the feeling that the poem read at the inauguration by that talented young woman, though I did have I had some problems with the poem itself, but certainly not the way it was delivered and not the reaction that it's gotten. That must be a talking point for you guys in your lobbying efforts, don't you think? She's young, she's black, and she moved a country.
She moved a country. I mean, Kevin can speak to this way better than I can. Go for it, please.
Well, no, I mean, I think, you know, the thing, Rick, that I love and that I think you appreciate about her presence there is that it's also emblematic of a rich tradition of black women.
Oh, no question.
Bringing a different narrative to the center of our discourse, right? And I think, of course, of like, you know, Miss Gwendolyn Brooks, I think of the new Illinois poet laureate, Angela Jackson.
Yeah.
I think of Nikki Giovanni and Sam Sanchez and Jane Cortez and so many who've come before her. And I think arts has that power constantly, storytelling in particular. And of course, you know, I mean, as a poet, I love to see poetry take center stage. But I think that's the power in you know, what she did is she performed a dramatic monologue,
yep,
like, filled with political rhetoric,
yep,
and shook the country. And I think, you know, something that we've known inside of the arts and particularly inside radically diverse youth cultural spaces is that, you know, when given the opportunity, you know, people step up to transform what we can expect from one another. And I think that's part of what happened the other day.
Yeah. When you gathered Matthew Lee Erlbach, you gathered some 200 people. Did you limit it to 200 people? You're having more than 200, actually, playwrights, composers, lyricists, librettists, writing letters, in a sense. There's on your site, you can read some of the letters. You know, you got to know that there's not going to be. Do you think Biden and Harris will read these letters? They got a lot on their hands. I hope they do. How confident are you that this is going to work its way? I'm not going to say go to the top of the pile, but work its way into the coming agenda of this presidency.
Very, very, because we, you know, President Biden and Vice President Harris are appreciators and participants in our arts and culture economy.
No question.
Joe Biden, poetry is braided into his existence.
Yep.
And, you know, going to the point of Amanda Gorman, what she offered us was a metaphor.
Yeah.
And I think that when we talk about the American dream and the American promise, these ideas that, you know, are North Stars for our country, we crave them right now. We are craving story and metaphor and rewriting this narrative for our country. So to your point of, will this get there? What is happening now is a new era for arts and culture workers, where we can say to poets and ushers and museum curators and docents, hey, we are all part of 4.5% of our GDP, which is $265 billion more than transportation, more than agriculture and mining combined. So when you make this case saying, hey, we are solving a problem here, we can be the path to economic revival and national reconciliation. And if we get 5.1 million arts and culture workers, starting with the playwrights kicking down the door, calling to action everyone in this country, you better believe we're going to get there. We're meeting with Senate offices and House offices all the time. I am certain and confident these letters are going to get to the desk.
I am so happy to hear that. We have to take a short little break. And Kevin, I want you, if you would, to read your poem, you wrote to dear President-elect. Do you think you're up for that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Matthew, you don't have to read anything. You're very articulate and passionate, and I like that. And we'll continue on in about 2.5 minutes. Thank you, guys. If you want to follow a just and good and important cause, go to Be an Arts Hero. I'm not going to spell that for you. Be an Arts Hero. .com to see some of the work that my friend, dear friend Kevin Koval is doing along with Matthew Lee Erlbach and hundreds of others. Is there a finite number of letters that you're delivering to the current administration? Are you limiting the number of letters?
No, we're looking for critical mass. So
yeah,
when we have a heavy canvas burlap sack of letters, we'll drop them.
Perfect, perfect. Like when Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You guys, when tell me about, and I, you know, the only time I really read it in the papers, are doing a really lousy job, I think, of covering this because there are other things. But the arts and theater communities have been ravaged by this pandemic, more so than most. Your unemployment ran out in many cases. People, and I think, again, it's the lack of understanding that people have for what arts and culture and theater do for this country. People are like, well, I wonder when Broadway is going to come back. I wonder when, you know, I wonder when, you know, Hamilton will be on again. And they look at this, that sort of big star-studded picture, without realizing the hundreds of storefront theaters around this country that need help, too. I guess I should be one of your lobbyists, I suppose, after that.
Yeah,
screen. But
Rick, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of the things. Part of your mission is to enlighten and inform people about this, to get the spotlight off the, you know, Netflix, for all the money it makes. Netflix is not what we're talking about here, is it?
Well, Netflix isn't precisely what we're talking about, but it's certainly a part of it, because when you think of any TV show that's on Netflix or any other network or streamer, that's a small business.
Yeah, they need actors. Yep.
You know, and like, if you're lucky, your business, like Big Bang Theory, runs for 10 years and you got, you know, hundreds of people working for 10 years on that show, which is good. So that's one thing. But to your point, you know, this is really rebuilding the lens of how we talk about who, what, and where arts and culture workers are, and
exactly,
by talking about us as labor and talking about us as small businesses and jobs, infrastructure jobs, that's a much different conversation to be had. And in Chicago, as we all know, boy, oh boy, are we so lucky that, like, arts and culture is integrated into the vocabulary of how we live in the city. Chicago is not Chicago without blues, hip hop, jazz, Second City, sketch comedy, Steppenwolf museums, you name it. Like, what is Chicago without it? So to make that case as an economic blueprint and go to a place like Raleigh or Billings or Anchorage and say, hey, you have some, but do you want to come back? Look at what you can do. When you invest, this is the return on investment.
Yeah, that's your argument, and it's not an argument. Your cause is beyond just, and I think you, Matthew, are terribly articulate in explaining it, and I know Kevin would be too, if I allowed him the chance to do so, because I've seen him do it here. You know, you talk about something like Young Chicago Writers, it is empowering. It empowers generations, has empowered generations across this front. What's the next step with being an arts hero? Just continuing to spread the word, or delivering those letters?
It's building letters, but that's only part of a larger mission, which is the Dawn Act, Defend Arts Workers Now, which authorizes $43.85 billion to the NEA, the NEH, IMLS, Institute of Museum and Library Services, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the SBA. We want arts-related businesses to be taken care of, too. And it's reimagining the possibility for direct artist grants. So Chicago just did this. Mayor Lightfoot just did a version of this. I think it's $1.7 million.
Yeah.
You know, there are ways to do this locally and nationally, of course. And one more thing I'll say, and then I'll stop monologuing about it all, is we have to think about our institutions like stars, and they anchor a highly interdependent local commercial ecosystem, which is restaurants, retail, hospitality, tourism, transportation. So if Steppenwolf goes, the Willow Room goes.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's Halsted. That's that.
Well, if Steppenwolf goes, every restaurant in Halsted would close. Vinci, all of them would be gone. You are making a really, really good case. I may take a stab at writing about this if the Tribune has not done anything yet, and I haven't seen anything yet. Matthew, I know you've done a play at Steppenwolf, and I know you're in the process of working with Anna Shapiro to do another one. I can't wait for that to happen. Kevin, would you read your poem, thereby showing people with your voice and your words why I love you, okay?
Yeah, I got you. This is thanks, Rick, and thank you, Matt. Yeah, this is dear President-elect, the country of your rhetoric, the country allied and together, the country practicing democracy, the country inclusive and just, the country fair and equitable, the country we hope for is a dream we can realize if bridges are built between the most disparate of ideas and people. And what better bridge than a story? The infrastructure you will allocate billions for is necessary, but the ways to construct cities again, to unite urban and rural, to cross the deep divide our country faces, is to make us known to one another. And the best natural resource is the people who write and sing and paint and make theater, the thousands in band and tech rehearsals who throw pots and write graffiti and run open mics and community dance lessons and curate galleries and public space and make it more beautiful. Mr. President, please invest in our natural resources, those creating a free exchange of ideas who show us, who we could be, who hold a mirror and conjure a time capsule, who haunt our lineage so we may finally learn from the past and be free to imagine a different future. Mr. President, the artists are the bridge builders, the construction workers of the heart and mind who burrow new paths for us to see one another in new lights and in lights of our own making. We are in desperate need of connection. We have been subsumed in 4 years or centuries of radical unlistening. Let us pause. We can hear a new future unfolding. It is time for the artists to unfurl their imagination into the public sphere. We need a new course, a town square, a space in every corner of the country to slow for a few minutes a day and connect to someone like us and not like us and learn and grow and consider an other side and story and perspective. Art does this, Mr. President. Art is the antidote to tyranny. Invest, invest, invest. A new WPA of the arts to heal our torn and wounded country.
Kevin Koval, that is a great poem. That is a great poem. I'm sure you think so too, Matthew Lee Erlbach.
Amen.
Do you not?
It's beautiful.
And Kevin, I think of bringing up the WPA is a really interesting idea too, because, I mean, for instance, you know, Studs Terkel worked for the WPA, and Nelson Algren of all people was sent around the country to write about, before any of his fame came, to write about food in various places. You can find some of that writing somewhere, and it's just fantastic, and murals and everything else. It was just an explosion, and I have the feeling that art and theater and everything else we know, when it comes back, it will come back, I think, in a more accessible form. It will not be all about, you know, Broadway and Netflix, though I admire them for putting people to work. But there are going to be some, don't you both think there are going to be some alterations in the form? There may be more outdoor theater. There may be, as an example. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that one, what you were talking about a minute ago, I think this is about arts of all kinds, but it's also about the idea that there are community workers who are artists who serve the public every day, who make the public space more beautiful, who make, you know, school or, you know, a transit ride, more enjoyable and also push us into a new understanding of ourselves and in our society. And so I think it is about kind of scale. And, yeah, you know, for me, you know, and I think, you know, this, you know, and I think believe this too, is that, you know, at the grassroots level, community to community, you know, a little can go a long way.
No kidding.
And so I think that kind of, you know, grassroots organizing is very essential.
Well, and I also think, Matthew, you address this for a second, Matthew Lee Erlbach, who's one of the founders, along with three other theater folk, of Be an Arts Hero. That's beanartshero.com. There are going to be people who are empowered and emboldened to join the arts, and just in the way this country has changed, and it is hard to digest all the ways it has changed in this last year, but will be empowered and emboldened to allow their voices, whether their voices are with a paintbrush or their voice, to be heard, to find some place where they can be heard. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that one thing we have to talk a lot about in everything that you just said and what Kevin just said is teachers and teaching artists and arts educators, because to have this explosion of the arts on the other side of this, is part of that is going to be reimagining and transforming how we educate due to being on Zoom, due to coming back. How do we integrate arts in an applicable way to teach math, to teach history? And there are methods out there. So I think that we have a unique opportunity now to look at how the arts can be integrated into core subjects.
So
that they're not separate and extracurricular over there, but they're part of the learning all the time. So I think that'll also be a part of it.
Well, you guys are really fighting the good fight. Kevin Koval and Matthew Lee Earlbach. Matthew, you live in New York now all the time, full time?
No, I'm a recent LA transplant, inching my way back eastward to Chicago.
All right, stop here. Stop when you get to Chicago and stay here. A pleasure to talk to both of you. The organizations, the mission can be found at greater length at beanartshero.com. You can hear Kevin Koval on this. It's a podcast. You can hear it anytime you want. You can hear it at 3 o'clock this morning if you want to. The Corner Store. Kevin, I miss you. Matthew, a real pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure. You guys, thank you so much for having me.
You guys are really fighting the good fight, and I admire and appreciate it. Take care, both. Take care. Be well. Be safe.